Good morning, everybody. I'm Brian Cerny. Thanks for tuning in. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. 93.3 FM, Freedom 93 in Tallahassee. Got a great show here for you today. Liz Joyner, the executive director for the Village Square, will be with us for the entire hour. Yes, and we're going to learn all about the Village Square and their mission as we discover more of what is going on in Tallahassee. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Robert Sand Company, providing soil, mulches, compost, rock, and gravel for homeowners and businesses for 50 years, and by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive for accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out the truck.
Folks, the backup camera system has become a standard in most of the new vehicles, and you don't have to buy a new vehicle in order to have the safety and protection of the standard. Come in to Truck and Car Concepts. We can install a backup camera system that's going to give you the safety and protection for $399 and up.
Everything is here from A to Z.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Peter.
Wow, you really going after those carrots?
Yeah, so?
Well, you gotta slow down.
Oh, no. You're right.
Must be the Roberts.
What? Roberts?
Yeah, Roberts Topsoil and Compost.
Farmer Brown is a genius.
Grow your garden with the best from Roberts Sand Company. Call 576-1414 or click robertssand.com. Do the Roberts.
Tallahassee Talks on a Saturday morning here at 93.3, Freedom 93 FM. Glad you tuned in. We have with us the very charming, the very astute, erudite Liz Herbert Joyner, who is the executive director for the Village Square. Folks, what a great organization, Liz, and what a great opportunity to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. With that introduction, I'd like to take you everywhere I go.
I will be her personal one-man entourage.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll carry the luggage and make introductions. This is how it rolls for me.
Works for me. You don't have anything else to do you?
Yeah, yeah. Will Miss Joyner have any water this morning? Yes. Okay, so there are so many things we need to talk about, at least from my point of view. And I know you've got a great deal to share with us about what's up and coming. Let's start there. Tell us about the upcoming season for
the
Village Square.
Yesterday, we just announced our new season. And it's the three dinners we have every year that we sort of organize all of our programming around. And the season theme is Join the Asteroids Club.
Join the Asteroids Club.
Yes. And actually, that is a story that's been a year in the making. Last fall, we had social psychologist Jonathan Haidt here. And as we were visiting with him and getting to know him, he came up with an idea. And the idea was that metaphorically, the problems we're having in the world are like asteroids. And they're coming closer to us. The longer we ignore them, the harder it is to deflect them. And, you know, let's say there was a real asteroid coming at us.
Yes.
There'd be no question that we'd put down our partisan divisiveness. We'd roll up our sleeves. You know, we'd send Ben Affleck.
Put our cell phones in our pockets. Right.
Probably so.
Yeah.
And do what we needed to do to deflect the asteroid.
Huh.
Well, the truth is there really are metaphorical asteroids coming at us. And the problem with these asteroids is they come sort of wrapped in a special partisan force field that makes it impossible for half of us to see them. And so we tend to, the political dialogue tends to be a lot of fighting over whose asteroid is real. And we just sort of poo-poo what the other side of the aisle is saying. And yet, you know, if you look at data, these are data-supported problems that are getting worse the longer we ignore them. And they're kind of semi-apocalyptic problems. They're things we have to look at. So that's what we're going to do this year. Sounds like fun, hey?
It sounds charming, yeah. So this is not a Ben Affleck movie here. No, this is real life. And those impending challenges, have they come about even in the short run? Are these things that and we'll talk about what you refer to here, some of those asteroids that we need to be thinking about. Have these happened sort of in the last 10 years? Are we looking at the last 50 years?
In most cases, the last 50 years. We're looking at things that have been predictable and really that half of us tend to spend a lot of time worrying about, and we worry more and more.
Okay, so for example.
So the asteroids that we're hitting at the beginning of the season, the first program is American Dream Lost, More Inequality, Less Marriage, Failing Institutions, Forgotten Community. And the two asteroids we're going to look at there are the increase in rising economic inequality, which is increasingly a problem in all sorts of very important ways, and then the breakdown of the family. And liberals are very aware of the rising economic inequality, and it's something that conservatives tend to just kind of go, okay, whatever. And then conservatives are very, accurately concerned about the breakdown of the family. Right now, 40% of children are born out of wedlock, and it's even higher when you look at low-income or minority families. It's up to like 70%.
Right.
And liberals kind of go, they yawn. And so the interesting thing is that if we actually were all saying, oh, yes, this is a problem, it's getting worse, the longer we ignore it, there are things we can do. These are issues that are potentially solvable if we actually ever got out of our, paralysis in the political arena.
And it seems to me some argue that those statistics are really not troubling, because we're not talking about a problem that has any long-term ramifications. When you talk about children being born out of wedlock, I mean, some I have heard argue that that's a lifestyle. Who is to say that that isn't a reasonable choice? But then you have those indications that among those households, the incidence of crime, the incidence of neglect or abuse, in fact, is higher.
The numbers seem to be coming in, and they don't seem to be looking very good. Yeah. And in the case of those particular asteroids, it's particularly disturbing that we're not getting further than we are in terms of agreeing, because, frankly, there's actually a lot of overlap. Single-parent families are much more likely to be poor. And so the truth is that there's a lot of common cause in those two problems. We just somehow can't get the common will to get moving on them.
Do you, in that regard, Bill O'Reilly has recently been criticized because of his pointing at, on a national scale, the disparity between those facts, as they appear to be, factual, and the leadership within the minority communities, especially people like Jesse Jackson, who don't take the opportunity to say, come on, folks, we are concerned about racial equality. We also have to be concerned about the integrity of, let's say, our own families. And so why is it so hard for them, do you think, a lot of times people in leadership like that, to step up and sort of self-correct?
You know, it's interesting, because I think so much of what's wrong really is the abrasiveness of our partisan dialogue.
Yeah.
Because, frankly, I'm not sure that much that Bill O'Reilly says, he says it in a way that other people really are going to hear it necessarily, unless they already agree with him.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just him.
So it doesn't engage
people. It's almost everyone. So it's at a certain point in time when we're shouting at each other, it becomes really hard to hear.
Well, one of our slogans around here is a favorite of mine, my particular favorite, I think, because we refer to this show as being more beauty, less bully.
I like that.
Yeah, see, because in fact, I like having conversation, especially with people that I find holding points of view that I don't agree with.
Right.
I like that. I like to be able to figure out, how is it you're so different from me on that particular point of view?
And that's what we're supposed to be doing in a democracy. That's what our founders charged us with. And going back to Bill O'Reilly, the sort of the rift between Bill O'Reilly and John Stewart, who couldn't disagree more, and that they visited each other on their shows. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And when you have that relationship and you start talking so that people can hear and listening, It changes everything. And then we can hear what we're, you know, what we need to be communicating about.
We should remember, too, of course, that when you're talking about conversation at that scale, the lines between providing information and entertainment are blurred.
Absolutely.
And these men make millions of dollars a year providing their audiences with these conversations, we'll say. So it does beg the question, while we might sit back and find that entertaining, does it really bring us forward talking among ourselves? Which, folks, is why Liz is here, because the Village Square, after all, is a forum. For those of you who may have just tuned in, we're talking with Liz Joyner this morning about the Village Square. It's a marvelous effort that she initiated along with a few other helpful souls here a few years back. We're going to get into a little bit of the history of the organization and her efforts. A stalwart individual who just has refused to give up. Even when told that such things would happen when pigs fly. And so she said,
who goes about fixing the political dialogue? What kind of crazy person?
What a crazy person you are. But here she is, having done so rather nobly, I think, over the last several years. We're finding out about that and learning more about how we can be a part of that conversation. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray illumination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts. 656-8800. Give us a call.
Talking with Liz Joyner this morning about the Village Square, its work, its mission, its history. How did this whole thing get started?
It was kind of a confluence of different events. I helped former City Commissioner Alan Katz run his re-election campaign, which I had never done before, but it was sort of a favor. I'll never do it again.
I'm
not sure I really like politics. Wow. As such. But Alan is a friend, and Alan had around him during that time when you know, the partisan divide was really building, and it was obvious that the national political dialogue was going south. He has around him a really interesting bipartisan group of friends, and they're, you know, among the leaders in the city, former TCC President Bill Law, County Commissioner Brian DeLoge, Lorraine Osley, people like that. They would have vibrant, serious discussions about what was going on in the community, the kind of discussions we all should have been having.
Yeah.
And it was sort of the confluence of me being dropped into those relationships and watching them, and my concern about where we were going with the political dialogue. We just started talking about how do you take this group of friends who can have these conversations. And let me tell you, they were not sweet, amicable conversations all the time. They were real and vibrant. It's the conversation we're supposed to be having. But they were supported in a network of friendship that could not be shaken. So, how do you take that and grow it out? And we started with a board of directors that was half D and half R and supported by friendships. And then we grew that out to a group of founders, half D, half R, and we kept looking for friends. And then we just took the dive and started our first season. I remember the first dinner that we had, and, you know, I was standing up there in front of 150 people, you know, not necessarily knowing who was out there, and thinking, what, are we crazy? You know, this is going to be a food fight. I'm never going to get through this next 2 hours. But it wasn't like that at all. It was, we sort of stumbled into something.
Mm. And then in stumbling forward, did you find that there were those who said, this is impossible, it's not going to work? There's this award that you now provide called the Flying Pig.
The Flying Pig.
What's that whole thing about? Yeah.
I found these cast iron, really heavy pigs with wings, and we spray painted them gold. They're actually kind of comical. And we have given one out so far. And, it's really just to somebody who's gone above and beyond.
And it was because somebody had told you that this just won't work?
I can't even remember where the Flying Pig came in. It just happened. It was like, felt like when pigs fly. It's like, yeah,
that
right.
Was just your...
We're gonna do this. That makes no sense.
That was you saying that to
That's
you.
That's right.
I think
it was mostly me, but I don't think anybody's really quibbled with our choice of
Banging
mascot.
Banging your head against the wall.
That's right.
What was I thinking?
That's right.
And yet, you've talked in terms of this bipartisanship, and I'm wondering, too, how that relates to those who say, well, there's more than two parties. What about those independents? And what about Libertarian Party members?
I mean, absolutely.
How do they fit in?
Yeah, we now haven't quite exactly gone the half D and half R thing on everything. Mm. We have independents involved. We have all sorts of everybody. And you know what? They're all part of the conversation.
Right.
And the problem is we've found ourselves in our little silos and our little pockets. It's human nature that if you're offered a television show with that agrees with you, an internet site that agrees with you, where are we going to go in the evening to get our information? It's just natural. And so, but now we're sort of in these little information bubbles, and we're stewing in with other people who agree with us, and there's no new information. So we really just need to get back to reconnecting to people, to all those different people that you're talking about. And once you have a relationship, once you know someone, I have no idea what your political leanings are, but I know you, Brian, and that changes everything.
Do you think the divisiveness or divisiveness, I guess, we find ourselves engaged in is a new thing? Is this a contemporary problem? Because, I mean, I can remember woefully when I was a kid, I heard grownups saying how glad they were that John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. They were glad he was dead. I thought, what a horrible...
Whoa.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
No, it's not new. But it's sort of a new flavor. It's human nature combined with, important issues. We're not talking about things that don't matter. We're talking about things that matter most.
Yeah.
And then you throw in the gasoline of, the internet, which is a whole new thing that we have. In some ways, we still don't understand the sociological effects of it on us.
Huh.
The changes in how we communicate. Think about... my daughter just graduated from college. When she was in high school, Facebook was new. So that's changed everything about how we've communicated. The amazing number of choices we have in where we get our information. For example, Al-Qaeda in some ways is a creature of the internet. It meant that radical people were able to connect with each other easily over space and time. And so they used the internet to build their network. And of course, I'm not comparing American democracy to Al-Qaeda. However, it's important to know that the new media has made it really easy for us to connect to the people who see it our way, no matter how little or radical or possibly wrong that group of people
is. Do you think that at the same time those media outlets rob us of opportunity in some manner? And that's been something I'm concerned about, that when I tweet you or if I text you, I'm not getting all of the flavor that comes with real, vocal, I'll call it audible conversation, which is honestly why I have this show and not a blog.
That's right.
I would rather hear all of those nuances, and I want to hear the inflection in your voice, because in some way or another, that is a further expression of Liz. That's an expression of your soul, and I want to engage that. I want to know everything that happens in that. I can't get that off of text on a page or on a screen.
That's right. And human beings are social creatures, and we're deeply reciprocal creatures, so that we know each other. If I really needed a hand with something in the future, mm-hmm. You know, you would feel more compelled to give me a hand because mm-hmm. you know me. Mm-hmm. It's not the same if, you know, we're just tweeting with each other mm-hmm. or I'm reading your blog. Mm. And so that connection is really important. So I'm not saying that the new things that have happened aren't wonderful in you know, social media.
But not a substitute for.
But not a substitute for. And I think in some ways maybe we sort of need to give ourselves the space to kind of understand, yeah, we're going to have to make some adaptations.
Well, and I think, too, with your format here, the Village Square could have been nothing other than a blog. It could have been a newsletter that you send out, but you guys decided to have these public meetings where there's that FaceTime, mm-hmm. and there you go. We've got people actually engaging one another in face-to-face conversations.
It's really what makes America different than almost every other place on Earth. It's what Tocqueville saw when he came to America and said, you know, what's unique about Americans? And really, there's a lot of, really, it was what had to happen because we didn't have a king anymore to make decisions for us. What's unique about Americans is how we combine with each other. Huh. We form groups. We have those vibrant town hall meetings where sometimes things get ugly and chairs get thrown. Huh. But people are neighbors and they know each other and they're engaged with each other. And that's the stuff of democracy.
Interesting. There are native populations. Carl, you were saying this to me here, wasn't it, a week or so ago? And I forget what the reference was. But basically the notion among this particular community was if you can't get there by walking within a day, it's not worth going.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like if just because you can travel halfway around the world on a tweet or on a Facebook page or a blog doesn't mean that you necessarily have a connection there that is meaningful. It might be some kind of intellectual pursuit, but you're not really engaging the entire situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So here we are on the evening news watching stuff happening across the world. How do we relate to that? Folks, that's why we're here trying to figure all this out. Liz Joyner has joined us to try to help us. You stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hey, Magnolia.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Hey, you're looking pretty good there. You've been doing the Roberts, right?
Yeah. Hey, and I can't thank you enough, you know. I haven't felt this good in years. I mean, I'm putting out roots and leaves I didn't know I had in me. And look at these blossoms, huh?
I'm telling you, it's the Roberts. Hey, that's great, Mac. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think everybody ought to be doing the Roberts. I mean, it's not just good for guys like us, but, you know, for everybody, right?
Have you seen Camellia lately?
Hi, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Do your flowers, plants, and trees a favor with the best organic topsoil, compost, and mulch from Roberts Sand Company. Ask for it by name at your local nursery or call 576-1414 or click robertssand.com. Do the Roberts.
So we're talking with my good friend, Liz Herbert Joyner. What a great name, too, by the way. If that were not your name, it should be. Okay? So that, just saying, theatrically speaking. And so I don't know how many books you're planning on writing in the rest of your career, but that's just a great author's name.
I see you're practicing being my professional introductionist.
Looking for any gig I can get, man. I'm telling you. If it pays, I'm there. So we're learning about the Village Square. We're learning about this business of the experiment we call democracy in the modern world here in the good old U.S. of A. And how much that has changed for us. And yet in many ways reminiscent of times past. And I think about those days prior to and during the Civil War when effigies of President Lincoln were being burned in public squares. I mean, going back to the foundation, I mean, the kinds of discord that were a part of even that first Continental Congress. So we've always been a people that seem to find some kind of conflict at hand. But it seems to me you're saying that's not a bad thing. The problem is we are not conflicting. We're just retiring or retreating and standing over here in our corners and not getting anything done.
Democracy is a very sloppy business. Yeah. It just, it is, and it always will be.
And should be.
It's all and should be and has to be. There's no other way around it. But the genius of our founders is that you take that kind of strife and conflict and you engage it, just like they engaged it.
Interesting.
I mean, they were, you know, they were going to hang if they weren't right about how they did this. The risk was very high, and yet you had people who had very different ideas. You know, mixing it up, conflicting, making compromises. You know, some of that led to the nearly lifelong conflict between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. And it is messy and sloppy. I think that the Village Square didn't need to exist 30 years ago because we took on that work together still as a part of just regular civil society. We were still engaged with each other in that way, in that sloppiness. So yes, was there ugliness? Lots of it, and there always has been, as it should be. But we were still engaged with each other. Now we're not.
What do you think of the thrust we've experienced, too, in this last 50 years, in which the notion of equity or equality has been advanced? So when you and I were little kids, things were a bit more monolithic. Maybe you want to say that maybe more simplistic, or that there are just fewer options. But in today's public marketplace of ideas, oh my goodness! I mean, there's just thousands of different ways of looking at a given problem that are by virtue of the sheer number of opinions. Makes that even more complex.
I think that's a really good point, because I think that's another factor that's creating this problem for us. Because just by virtue of the fact of the sheer volume of everything, we all have to take a shortcut, or we would never sleep or do anything else but, you know, get information. So our shortcut naturally is to listen to people we're drawn to, and they're the people who we agree with. Yeah. And so really what we should be doing informationally right now is we should be specifically seeking out the other opinion as well. So let's see what they say about it. I flip back and forth between channels and sources and sort of say, well, what's going on over there?
Right.
It's just kind of a habit I have, probably because of what I'm doing and I'm trying to make pigs fly and all. But but we should all be doing that, because it's important. It's
really
important.
But that's more work, Liz. That it requires more of us. Leave us alone. We were happy in our Archie Bunker view of the world. Things were simple then.
And actually, you know, I think that we're happier when we're engaged with the people around us. I think sometimes it's harder to do, and so sometimes we don't do it.
Maybe you're happier, but I don't know. The people I live with are really starting to get on my nerves. And that raises another point. In my former life, I was a family therapist. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, there you go. And I used to find among families those that were fighting, you know, they would come into the clinic and they'd be so upset about the fact they were fighting. And I always thought, well, that's a good sign, because it means there's something worth fighting for.
Right.
So if you're in debate, if you're conflicted over something, there must be something at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was those families that were sort of locked down, where there was that sort of no change ever happens here kind of attitude. That I found even more disabled. They were dysfunctional in that way.
It wasn't going to go anywhere. I think that's right. And it's also, when you stop talking to people, it becomes really easy to demonize them as well. And you hear a lot of that in our public discourse. Them, they, you know, creating, imagining intentions and of the other, and simply making them true. And it frankly becomes just part of the. A part of the knowledge of that side of the aisle that, you know, they did that because of this.
Right.
And again, it's human nature. And what is the recourse for human nature is sloppy, ugly, difficult democratic engagement between neighbors.
Talking with Liz Joyner here this morning. She is the executive director for an organization known as the Village Square, which has as its simple mission, how is it referred to?
Simple.
Yeah, it's a not simple ton, but a simple, you know, vision that just somehow maybe people of reasonable means might actually get together and discuss topics of concern, not the least of which, according to Liz and her cohorts, amount to some asteroid-like challenges that are coming at us over the next number of years, and that if we do not begin to come together, we may find ourselves unable or disabled in trying to deal with them as they approach. And you mentioned the first series, which or the first part of that series, which you kind of spun through that. You know, you think I'm paying attention here. Okay, so you need to repeat that for me. Okay, I'm not a very complicated guy. So what was that first one?
So the first program is American Dream Lost, and we're covering the liberal asteroid of rising inequality and the conservative asteroid of the family breakdown.
Okay, rising inequality and the family breakdown, those two are what you would consider asteroidal in nature, right?
Data supported.
Coming at us.
You can look at charts essentially that, you look at them and they're just going up and up and up.
If we don't deal with those in some manner that is rational and hopefully curative in some manner, what happens to us? Do we fall apart? Do we
dissolve into guess in some ways we don't know yet, but it's just not looking good. I think
rising crime.
I think you'll find the next two asteroids we're dealing with very intriguing.
Please.
And that is climate change and the social welfare state. Or entitlement spending. And interestingly, when we started planning this particular one, we thought, well, okay, the people who are going to want to come listen to us talk about climate change are going to want to leave the room when we talk about entitlement spending and vice versa. How are we going to get these people into the room? And so that program is called FEARS. Join the gang at FEARS, where not everybody shares your pain. And here's a little tickler just for your listeners.
Okay,
Brian.
Okay, listen up, folks.
And that is, nobody else will know this, is that we're actually going to seat our panel at a bar on the stage.
Ooh. Well, actually, I have seen many of, well, never mind. I suppose that wasn't official. Those were unofficial visits. So this is actually a Village Square meeting that's going to be held at one of our...
our second dinner on January 14th. And so we're sort of positing the question. It's at St. John's Episcopal Church downtown.
Oh, okay.
And
we're doing a simulated bar. Is that the
idea?
Yeah,
I don't know. There may be actual drinking involved because let's say that if man-made climate change is real,
yes,
and the social welfare state is doomed,
yes, we may start drinking after the meeting.
That's right. I think that drinking may be required. So the point is that both of those again. Okay, could we be wrong? Maybe. But the vast majority of data suggests that those are big, looming, and growing problems and that they might be worth a look by all of us.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. If you've just joined us, we have Liz Joyner with us, who is talking all things having to do with the ongoing discussion we refer to as the Village Square. It's an opportunity for you and I to engage one another in more meaningful conversation about some of these kinds of issues that she's bringing to our attention. The breakdown of the family, the entitlement of folks who are looking to governments to meet all of their needs. How about those kinds of topics in the coming weeks and months ahead of us? Are we engaged in that conversation? That's the question. We're glad you're with us.
We were faced with a very difficult situation. It was horrible. The trauma scene was bad enough, and it involved hazardous material. When we contacted Associated Services, it was so reassuring. They put together a team for us immediately and stayed in contact with us, even though we were 3 hours away.
We get a lot of those kind of calls, but this one somehow was different. What really stuck was the confusion in her voice.
They were available to answer all our questions and provide additional help throughout the entire ordeal. They were right there, compassionate, professional, even months after completing the job. Associated Services, I would trust them with any job, regardless of scale.
Since 1975, Associated Services Cleaning and Restoration. Experts in dealing with mold, water, fire, and biohazard cleanup. Experienced in dealing with people. Associated Services Cleaning and Restoration. Online at AssociatedSVS.com.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday. Glad you joined us. You know, one of my favorite movies is Remember the Titans. And many of us in love that movie, don't we?
Yes.
And, of course, the narrative that accompanies that whole dramatic presentation has to do with how two very different populations of people get to know and trust one another. I remember that one scene where the mother of this one football player says, "I don't want to get to know him." And so you have to stop and realize that no matter how much we desire that kind of connectedness, there are people among us who say, "I just don't want to connect with those folks." So then it really does come back to the tide, you know, the overwhelming majority of folks. And maybe it's not so overwhelming. Maybe it's that 51% that says, "Yeah, well, we think it's important." And so if you're part of that percentage of folks who feel like, you know, I may disagree with you, but I want to be a part of that conversation. Well, man, you've tuned in to the right place at the right time, because we've got Liz Joyner talking about the Village Square. That's their mission. A bunch of nervy political conservatives and liberals and independents and libertarians who think that conversation is worthwhile, at the end of which we have a better understanding of one another and how we can address such global problems, not just national problems, like crime and poverty and disparity and what did we talk about earlier? The disparity between the haves and the have-nots, and that seems to be widening. So, Liz, fix this. What's wrong with you?
Sure,
come on, get it
sure.
done.
Well, I love the fact that you said something about 51%, because I actually think that that's an important number. Symbolically and metaphorically, I think a lot of this has to do with the direction that we're pointed. And I think the way that politics are working these days is that if you can just get right over that 50% line, you know, you're operating at 50.2%, 02%, 51% of the population, then you are now elected and you can drive whatever you think in a very, you know, pure way through, and you just push through any kind of opposition and you just do what you want to do. Yeah. Well, we don't like that so much. And so then we elect the other guy who just barely gets 51%. We go back and forth, and nothing ever has a chance to work. Nothing ever really gets solved. There's no sort of sustained idea or project. We're just batting ourselves around. Well, it used to be that when somebody was elected, we expected statesmanship out of them. And we have something we call 68% solutions. Because 68% represents the one standard deviation on either side of the mean, a standard curve.
Right.
And so it used to be that statesmanship would mean, how do I take what I believe and enlarge the number of people who agree with me? How do we move towards a greater consensus? And so to do that, you almost just have to turn around and say, well, how about the people who don't agree with me?
Yep.
Where if we you know, change this just a little bit or that, could we get wider agreement? Could we get some sustained problem solving? But instead, what happens is when we're elected, we just turn right back around to, you know, the like-minded people and say,
we're
okay,
serving
crowd.
A constituency.
That's
right. Yeah, it's been my contention that we are actually being manipulated even by the people we elect, though they happen to agree with us. They're up there duking it out and putting out for us this showing of hostility. And we feel good about that.
That's right.
So we keep sending them back in for the next round, and they're beating the crap out of one another.
That's right.
But nothing really gets accomplished. But somehow we feel like our side has been defended. It reminds me of Shelby Foote, the great historian who's part of Ken Burns' Civil War series.
Ah.
And he makes this observation. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, to understand American history, you have to understand the Civil War. Because he says, you know, we're, as a nation, we were known for our ability to negotiate and compromise. He said the fact is we failed colossally in not being able to compromise at that time in our history. So here we are again in 2013, heading into 2014. Have we somehow lost that political art of saying, you know what, I don't get it all my way, and those that I've elected to represent me have to represent in some manner that desire to compromise?
I think we have, and I think that was an apt comparison because, when you look at measures of partisan division, it hasn't ever been, the last time that it was bad as it is now was around the Civil War. Mm-hmm. So we really are talking about the kind of divisiveness
that we
had.
Look what's being played
then.
Out in Egypt in mm-hmm. front of our eyes, where you've got these embroiled, partisan, divided groups of people.
And it's so tragic,
isn't it? And yet, how far away are we from that same sort of dissension?
You know, sometimes you just need a tipping point. That's what happened in Egypt. Yeah. There was a tipping point, and all of a sudden it changes. So, you know, we have to have those relationships. I have so much, as much as I think there's so much broken, I have so much confidence in Americans and American democracy. We're very mm-hmm. self-correcting. Mm-hmm. And I think you see signs of that now in the mm-hmm. political mm-hmm. discussion. I think there are a lot of people who are saying, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're getting a little sick of this. I think that what's interesting from my perspective is I think that people don't really quite know what you do to fix it right now.
Well, I think you're one of those solutions, honestly. Well, I think the Village Square is part of that fix.
I think one of the sort of semi-burdens we have is that we feel like we stumbled upon this. Hmm. And we are delighted that we have another location in St. Petersburg, Florida. We also have some interest in growing to other cities. Hmm. So we might have some new announcements. But we really feel like we have a fairly simple and highly effective way to solve the problem. Everyone else wants to make it an informational issue.
Right.
It's a relationship issue.
Right, right.
And once the relationship right. changes, which it does naturally when you know people, everything else becomes simple.
Right. And I referred earlier to the notion that families that live well and work well and play well together are those families at the same time who know how to fight for things that are worth fighting for, and yet do so in a manner that doesn't disenfranchise anybody in that process. They stay together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the reasons our founders, despite, you know, their difficulty, stayed together is because they were going to hang if it didn't work.
I think
so. The stakes were high, and the stakes are high now, aren't they?
That's right.
They're still high.
Yeah. Folks, what a great conversation. We have... certainly encourage you to check it out. The Village Square, the website is tothevillagesquare.org.
Yes, sir.
So tothevillagesquare.org, you can learn more about this vital part of our conversation here as a community. Get involved in that in some manner. Best of all, show up. And because space is limited, you can't assume that there's going to be a chair there for you. So you need to get involved and go online and let them know that you want to be a part of that next meeting. We've got a great series coming up in the year ahead. Liz has given us just a few tidbits there about that. And I'm sure we can learn more if we go to the website.
Huh? You can. We've also got the third year of our Faith Food Friday series. And our little subtitle on that is because talking politics was not hard enough.
I love that.
So, and then we'll have some local programming, our town series
as
well.
Yeah, well, and I, isn't it interesting how much coffee is a part of democracy? And as
I
much
think
as
so.
Yeah, because Europe decided that coffee was a lot cooler than beer. So it's attributed to the fact that these guys and gals started hanging out in coffee shops. And they got, the whole age of enlightenment came about because they were staying up late at night and thinking about these things.
I am down with that coffee thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So put away the beer, start drinking coffee, get involved, show up at the Village Square opportunities that you've heard us talk about this morning. Go to the website. You're going to find out that there's a whole lot going on out there in Tallahassee, folks, that we can be a part of. We need to be a part of. That's what we've got for you this morning. I'm glad you've been a part of the conversation. It's always tragic when we get to this point because we're done. But we'll be back again next Saturday morning right here at 93.3 FM, Freedom 93 in Tallahassee, your home for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Thanks for being a part of the show. We'll look for you again next week. Don't forget our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. Suggest a topic, suggest a guest. We're looking for you. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.